what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And with me, as almost always, the happiest man I know about legalized sports betting in the U.S., Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, you may not be that happy, but you're the happiest guy I know.
You don't know many people.
That might be true.
That is true.
Or I don't know enough degenerates.
Even a guy that doesn't like me who doesn't sport bet. And I mean, I guess it's good for the economy. I guess we could say that.
Maybe bad for some families.
Yeah.
Possibly.
There's some people that are going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So, are you just because I have my wife is from Vegas? Is that why? That's why I'm the happiest guy you know?
I'm leaving your wife out of this. She doesn't want to be any part of this.
Okay.
We tried to get on to recap Dancing with the Stars athletes.
You know,
came this close this time.
I know.
She thought about it for like 2 seconds.
Ends this season. This is the last season. Or excuse me, this is the last, next week is the last week.
Of Dancing with the Stars?
The athlete edition.
Oh, that's how they're going out?
Yes.
That's kind of lame.
Josh Norman, he's still on there.
Who's that?
Football player, come on.
Oh, that Josh Norman.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
An athlete, you know. So.
Can you tell I wasn't paying much attention?
Yeah, I can tell. You're on your phone. All right, Eddie, so welcome to Fight Night. It is Wednesday Warfare. We are listening to, it's going to be a good night. You got Stu, you got Justin. I don't know what Stu and Justin are going to say, but I hope they talk about Ronda Rousey getting a WWE title shot. Can you believe that's already happening?
You don't think that's going to happen? Yeah.
That's
ridiculous.
It got announced.
Yeah, I know. I texted Stu when I popped up on my phone. I'm like, what the? And I can't repeat what I said.
A little early.
A little bit.
A little early.
She's had one match.
I mean, do you think she wins?
Right now, there's no telling.
I know. That's crazy. So
I'm hoping they set it up to where Nia injures her and she has to go back to NXT for a while. Back to NXT, to NXT for the first time.
Well, so you can follow us guys on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook.
If we haven't ruined it for you by now already by talking
about Fight Night ATX. We talked really quickly. We talked about Ronda Rousey only. How was your weekend? How was your, you saw Avengers?
I did see Avengers, Thursday?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm talking to myself. It's okay. No, I saw Avengers on Thursday.
Okay, what'd you think?
It was...
No, we're not going to give spoilers.
Yeah, I'm trying to... How do I say this without giving away spoilers?
Did you like it?
No!
Okay, well, that's sad.
I was upset.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's upsetting.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, at least I know there's going to be a 4. So there's got to be some kind of resolution to this.
Well, we know there's lots of things. We know there's a Spider-Man 2. We know there's a Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Well, why are you mentioning those?
Because we know that things are... it's a play. Captain Marvel's happening.
Uh-huh.
I mean that's the one problem with Disney announcing like their schedule years in advance.
Yeah,
so it's exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Also, went to see my mom for Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's great.
Me and my sister took her out on Saturday night to try to avoid the Sunday rush.
Where'd you go?
Someplace near like Seabrook. I don't know. My sister was driving.
Okay.
I don't know, it was something near the water. Nice spot.
Well, good. That's nice of you.
Yeah. But of course, as I'm sitting there at the restaurant, I see ESPN on. I'm like, ooh. Then I see Lomachenko,
yeah.
And I say, oh.
Yeah.
But then we leave right as the first round is starting. And I say, oh.
So you missed the next 9 rounds.
Yes, I missed it all.
Well, my Mother's Day was good. I cooked dinner for Marlo.
Nice.
On Sunday. Actually, I made breakfast, and we made some lunch, and then I made dinner. I cooked a tri-tip, which is a very California meal, very California meat.
Lots of kale?
No, there was no kale.
Oh.
We actually had kale in some waffles in the morning. I know that sounds terrible. It wasn't great. So
you get what you deserve.
It was a great Mother's Day. So you mentioned the Lomachenko fight. That was good. I mean, Lomachenko gets
win
in the. Yeah. You have not seen it yet?
No, I've only seen clips.
So gets the win in the 10th round. Gets dropped in the 6th. So I think this. I want to say is like one of the first times he's been dropped. Since his amateur days, and now he is one of the youngest fighters. And it took him 12 fights. I'm not sure what that was, Eddie. It took him 12 fights to get. To be a three kind of belt champion.
Yeah, 3 weight class champion, yeah.
And the previous fighter, the boxer, had done it and took 20 fights. Lomachenko took 12 fights. On the scorecards, though, Linares was ahead on one scorecard. Lomachenko was up on one scorecard. And then it was tied on the other 85-85.
So. And I missed the whole thing.
Yeah, and you got to go back and watch that 10th round. So Lomachenko, yeah. I mean, he finally, he looked good. I mean, he looked good the whole time. He did get dropped.
It was like a nice straight right.
Yeah, right in the sixth.
Yeah.
And in that 10th round, he was just able to kind of, head movement, but he was moving around so well. And just he was just tagging Linares with just shot after shot.
Yeah, it looked like a sparring partner.
But then finally, he just came around with that liver shot, knocked him down, and just, you know, ended the fight.
That was
and it was good, impressive. And we'll see what's next. Hopefully, he'll fight again October, November. That's what I think Bob Arum is saying. Yeah. So
now I did go back to my sister's place. I had recorded Bellator.
I know. I texted you. So I texted you. I said, hey, you beat me.
Yeah.
You beat me. I said, you beat me 3-2. But you had not watched UFC at that time.
And I'm like, thank you, Jordan, for ruining things.
And I asked you, though, how come you didn't respond back to me there? I said, Eddie.
Oh, I fell asleep.
With no spoilers. You now know that you beat me 3-2, and you've already watched Bellator. So mm-hmm. Who'd you have in Bellator? You had John Fitch.
I had Fitch and Bader.
Oh yeah, and I had Daly and King Mo.
Right.
So I lost both of those. So I said, hey, you know that you beat me 3-2. So you're only going to win one of the different picks in the UFC card. Who do you think it was? Now, if you think back, who do you think who was it? Who did you think would have won when I told you that?
Out of all those, I probably would have picked Gastelum.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would have been right. But if I would have guessed about someone that I was going to lose, I thought you had a better shot of Kelleher winning, beating Lineker.
Well, he also picked you picked Amanda Cooper, too.
Right.
So,
but I wasn't as sold on her as I was on Kelvin Gastelum.
Okay. Well, so let's go back to that Bellator fight. Ryan Bader knocking out King Mo.
Oh, man.
15 seconds. That was kind of anticlimactic.
I had mentioned that King Mo had a habit of being a little lackadaisical. But come on. That's ridiculous. 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Who does he think he is? Jose Aldo?
Now he says he wants to go back to middleweight.
Boom. Yeah, good idea. I mean, he's been fighting what they call money weight.
Yeah.
Just like wherever the money. Yeah. Wherever the money is. He's gone up to heavyweight a couple times before this. And now maybe he realizes it's probably a good idea. As you get up in age to fight guys your own size.
Yeah. Well, now this sets up Ryan Bader versus Matt Mitrione. Ryan Bader, who is the Bellator light heavyweight champion, fighting a true heavyweight mm-hmm. in Matt Mitrione in the second round of the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix.
Mitrione, I kind of consider the uncrowned Bellator champion yep. after he knocked out Fedor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that one right there should have been for the belt.
Yeah.
You either get Fedor as your champion or you get the guy that beat Fedor as your champion. And now you got to go through this tournament and include Chael Sonnen. Makes no sense in the world.
And then Chael Sonnen's going to win. Chael Sonnen's going to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, Lord.
Of Bellator. Of the Bellator world.
Of the Bellator.
So you go to the are you happy with that, though? Are you happy with Ryan Bader fighting Matt Mitrione?
Well, I'm glad that it can happen quickly.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
Mitrione, they showed him on the beach sipping a Mai Tai or something.
Yeah.
What's that about? But he's not injured, apparently. Bader couldn't be injured mm-hmm. unless he broke his hand on King Mo's face.
Yeah. Fader's not injured. Right. And Chael Sonnen. And I think the plan is that they're going to do both fights on the same night, and it's going to be sometime in September, October. And then if they're both healthy, you come out and you can do this. You know, you could do it before the end of the year, but a good chance it happens in like
January.
They
cannot wait till September or October to capitalize on what they just had.
Hey, you know,
that would be disastrous.
Well, they're probably going to.
So. I would say July or August. July is probably too quick, but I'd say August.
Okay, well.
And then you can do November, December.
How about Paul Daly? Excuse me. Boo this fight. What'd you think of that? That was great. So
Paul
Daly.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Paul Daly literally boos his own fight as he's being wrestled by John Fitch, which you said you thought that John Fitch was going to fitch him, mm-hmm. which he did. He wrestled him. He kept him down. It
he
was
fought
a boring
like a
fight.
Fitch.
It was a boring fight. And and literally Paul Daly said, like, you're not going to get fans this way. Boo this fight.
And the worst
and
part
get
is
on the camera.
While he's booing with Fitch on top of him, Fitch is just throwing like these pillow punches. I mean, no damage at all. It doesn't even stop him from talking. It doesn't stop him from talking trash, nothing. It's just these little love tap punches. So it's basically just lay and pray.
Yeah.
And he did no damage whatsoever.
Yeah, but he got the win.
Paul Daly could fight tomorrow if he wanted to.
So we'll see what happens with Paul Daly. I mean, Paul Daly, obviously, you can't be a good graces if you're booing the fight as you fight and you're booing yeah. Bellator.
He's got one more fight on his contract. But right now he's saying that, you know, he's done with MMA. So we'll see what happens.
All right. So before we get to the UFC, I do just want to mention Aaron Pico. Aaron Pico also gets this finish with a liver shot.
Your homeboy.
And, yeah, from Whittier, California. He defeats Lee Morrison. It was a body punch. and then finishes it. And Aaron Pico, so you know that first loss that he had against it was Zach
Efron.
No, it was not.
Morris.
No, none of those. I mean, it wasn't Zach, but for his first loss he had last year at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Now he's come back. He's had three wins since then. You know, pretty happy. You got to be pretty happy with Aaron Pico. He's still, let's bring him along slowly.
Yeah. You know, that loss might have been a good thing
Freeman,
for him.
I think it was.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that loss may have been a good thing for him. You know, he came in with all these high expectations. That gets knocked off a little bit. And you learn to lose. That's always good for you. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get back to work. And what he's shown so far, his future is really, really bright.
Yeah, so, but bring him along slow. That's the only wish. So, all right, so let's jump over to UFC 224. This is on pay-per-view. It was in Rio. Now, before the pay-per-view started, you've got to give it up to Alexei Oleinik. Another Ezekiel choke. He was the first person to have to finish a fight by an Ezekiel choke in the UFC. Now he has another one. He defeats Junior Albini.
Yeah, and that first one's
so tough. I mean, especially to do it from the bottom.
Yeah, the first one was from the top. This one he does from the bottom.
Like, but they're like standing, and then they fall into it.
Yeah, he just basically pulls guard and lets a 260-pound guy fall on top of him to complete this choke. How it did knock his own breath out, I don't know.
That's crazy. So, yeah, a good win by Oleinik. Let's go to Machida versus Belfort. Man, can you imagine, Leon Machida has now essentially retired two people with the same kick. And Vitor Belfort has been knocked out now two times by the same kick.
Okay, first off, it's not the same kick that he hit Couture with. The Couture was a switch kick. It was more of a Karate Kid thing.
Okay.
So this one was more the Anderson Silva, just straight kick to the face.
Okay, so
both of them
taught by Steven Seagal.
Yeah, Vitor apparently can't detect the straight kick to the face.
Yeah.
This is a known weakness now.
I mean, he just crunched down. I mean, it was rough.
Doesn't Machida work out of Black House too?
He does.
He's friends.
He is.
With Silva. So, like you said.
But even when he did it to, when he front kicked Randy Couture, I mean, people were comparing it. And Steven Seagal was actually in his corner there, too. People were comparing it to the Anderson Silva kick before. So it is very similar, though.
It is similar. It just had the whole jumping look at my left as I kick you with the right Karate Kid
Speaking of Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, if you haven't watched Cobra Kai on YouTube Red, you got to go watch it. It's good.
I still haven't.
It is enjoyable. You're gonna have to get a free trial to watch YouTube Red.
Well, I got friends telling me I need to catch up with The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. That's on Hulu?
Yes.
Okay. Hulu. So not what we're talking about at all.
Not at all.
Okay.
But I'm saying I got things in my queue.
Okay.
I'm stacked up.
Go watch Cobra Kai.
All right.
But Leon Machida, he gets him in that front kick, and then he just like stops.
Yeah.
Like, he sees him crumple down.
He is a professional.
He bows.
That was awesome.
He goes to his knees.
He looked a little sad.
Yeah.
He's just standing there with his hands on his hips like.
Yeah. He realized what he just did. And then you have Vitor Belfort, who earlier in the week shows up at weigh-ins in a bathrobe and pajama bottoms and slippers.
He's a robe warrior.
That's good, a robe wear. I like that. So literally, he shows up in kind of whatever the hotel had, you know, in his closet.
Yeah.
And he said this was his last fight on his UFC contract. He takes off his gloves. He leaves them in the ring, in the octagon.
Well, and then his corner guy picked him up before they could zoom in on him.
I mean, you got to sell those on eBay. You know, you can't just leave him there.
No, you go get him after.
So,
do you think he's actually gonna hang him up?
I don't think he hangs it up in the UFC. I think he hangs it up in the UFC.
Me too.
I don't think the UFC would like him to fight. I mean, that's a case where you don't want to see him fight again.
Because he had talked about being in like a Legends League.
Yeah, of course. He's all about the Legends League.
And I had said, hey, it's called Bellator.
Or maybe not. Maybe it's called Golden Boy MMA. We'll talk about that later too.
Whoa.
Now you just got excited, didn't you? You're like, wait a minute, Vitor could fight there? I mean, that's just a game changer right there for you.
Well, you know what?
You like that now, don't you?
It's starting off with old guys.
Yeah.
May as well. We'll get to that later.
Okay. So Vitor Belfort, front kick knockout. If you haven't seen it, go find the highlights.
Oh, man.
John Lineker put a beat down on Brian Kelleher. Brian Kelleher took so much damage.
There's a reason he's called Hands of Stone.
I mean, and even Kelleher said that afterwards. You know, Hands of Stone, it truly was. I mean, he just took shot after shot. And finally, you know, at the end of the round, so for a full round, he just took punishment.
Yeah.
And at the end of the round, I mean, just took a shot and just crumpled.
Right on the point of the chin.
Oh, yeah. Just went straight down. So, Brian Kelleher, although he beat Hennen Burrell last, a little bit too quick, too much.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a big A big win again for Lineker. That would have been a huge win for Brian Kelleher. But, you know, Lineker is who he thought he was.
Yes, he is.
Right? He's still right up there at the upper echelon. And especially if you picked him, he is who you thought he was.
Of course.
So
I'm me.
All right.
So, you know who's more than we thought she was?
Oh, that's kind of hurtful.
Mackenzie Dern.
Well, I mean, according to the weight limits, that's also true. So,
well, now, she's more than she was contracted to be, that's for sure.
So, Eddie, to start this off, we want to say that nobody is shaming Mackenzie Dern for not making weight.
If you even think that, you're listening to the wrong show.
We're not. That's not the issue. It's maybe she's not fighting at the right weight.
Right.
And that's because Mackenzie Dern, who is in her second UFC fight, she's fighting in LFA, which is Legacy Fighting Association, I'm guessing.
Yes, down in Houston.
In Houston. She'd been fighting before. She fights at 115 pounds. She's fought six times.
Well, she signs to fight at 115 pounds.
So she's fought six times. She has missed weight three times. She's made weight three times.
That's half.
Okay. And so so she has a history of missing weight. Now, she shows up to Brazil on Tuesday at 139 pounds. Needs to make weight at 115 pounds. So that's 24 pounds she has to cut.
I mean, that's where you start off at the beginning of camp if you're going to cut to 115. And even that's high.
So a lot of people, Chris, so she came in, she weighed 7 pounds over. So of the 115-pound weight limit, you're allowed to have a one-pound exception. So she weighed in at 123 pounds.
So 7 pounds over the max
for
the division.
Now, a lot of people criticize her because she weighed in right at the very beginning of the limit. So you have 2 hours to weigh in, and you can come in. So if you need that extra 2 hours to cut weight, you can come in at the end of that time period. And so she came in like one of the first people there, weighed in at 7 pounds over, and then didn't come back. And so a lot of people criticize her for that. So you can't really criticize her for that because the night before, the commission told her to stop cutting weight. That if she did try to cut weight more, they would have to stop the fight because then she would be more frail and her body wasn't going to be able to handle it. We'd have like a Max Holloway situation where he was cutting too much weight. And they felt that at this point, your only hope was to catch weight, stop cutting weight. And so she knew that she could just stop cutting weight at that point, and that's why she weighed in early, but she still weighed 107 pounds over.
Yeah, and even if she were to try to cut that weight, 7 pounds in 2 hours?
No, okay, that's rough. At that point, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And so she gives up 30%. Of her, of her pay.
Used to be 20. And you know, she's coming in highly paid.
It's still, she gets 29 and 29. So she still is, it still is 20% for a certain threshold. She missed that threshold, so she went to
30%.
Okay. And then on top of that, she made a deal with Amanda Cooper that if she won, she would give her 15% of her win bonus. So Amanda Cooper would get $14,000 of the total purse if she took the fight and then still lost.
And then her pay on top of that.
And then her pay on top of that. So,
which
it probably is less than $14,000.
Much less. Yeah, most people used to come in at 8-8 for 8,000 to fight and 8 to win. So you've got Mackenzie Dern coming in at 29 for one fight.
Yeah.
At least Cooper's made some money.
Yeah, she did make some money. But
I picked her. I picked wrong in that case.
It's almost not even fair for you because now in 2018, fighters who come in overweight and still fight are 6-0. In the UFC.
Yeah, so, if I had known it was going to be
of course.
A flyweight against a strawweight, I would have picked different.
No, I get that. So you know what? I'm going to strike that away. So you beat me 3-1, okay?
That's okay. I already beat you.
So,
But yeah.
But just know my benevolence there to give that to you. Eddie.
Thank you, Jordan.
You're welcome.
But yeah, Mackenzie Dern, even then coming in, you think she's going to get it to the ground because that's where her strong suit
is. Well, she does finish it there.
She did finish it on the ground. But she walloped Amanda Cooper with a nice overhand right that you did not expect. But of course, when you get to stop cutting weight, you're in a little better shape. You got more power behind you. Maybe she should seriously think about staying at flyweight.
Yeah, so she's not going to. She's going to come back down. She's going to start training with the UFC at the Performance Institute in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that, but she was invited to leave her training camp.
That was another thing I wanted to get into that. So do you think her lack of a weight cut was a result of being kicked out of her training camp? Or do you think she was kicked out of her training camp because her attitude in her training was poor, and they just said, we're just not with this anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think that they wanted her to have more of a commitment to their gym, and she was spending three days, you know, a week in Los Angeles, 4 days a week in Arizona, and so they felt like her commitment to the gym wasn't where it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really can't blame the weight cut on that because she's missed weight before.
True.
And I'm not exactly sure what it is. And so, you know, it is a sign of disrespect. Amanda Cooper, she showed up. She made weight. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Dern did not make weight and missed it by 7 pounds. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
That's not even trying. I've taken to calling her now the female Kelvin Gastelum.
Well, let's talk about Kelvin Gastelum.
You
Kelvin
like that? Gastelum, that's a segue.
Well, you know what? Kelvin Gastelum gets a win, is probably the number one contender in the middleweight division. A guy who,
to me, he is.
Almost could have got to be the number one contender at welterweight, is now middleweight number one contender after defeating Jacare Souza in just a really great fight.
It was a really great fight. If you watch, it's kind of back and forth in the first round. Gave it to Jacare, but he really tired himself out going for that choke at the end, mm-hmm. or the armbar he was going for at the end, into the first round. And you could see, coming back into the second round, he was just visibly tired already. And from that point on, it was just downhill. I mean, he was still able to put together some good shots, but Kelvin Gastelum, I think not having cut weight has a much better effect on his chin. And he was just eating those shots.
Yeah, he really did look good. He was able to take those shots. We got to go quickly because I want to talk about that last fight. But Kelvin Gastelum, he got the win. He defeated, he defeats Jacare. And you know, he's really got to be poised to be right there. There's really no one else. You think about, I don't know if you have the rankings up there, but Chris Weidman would be close to the top. Luke Rockhold, who is maybe not even a middleweight anymore. Where is Kelvin Gastelum?
Gastelum went into the night ranked fifth, whereas Jacare was two.
Okay.
So you beat number two. That jumps you up there, right? Now, Chris Weidman does have a win recently over Gastelum, but with that injury he's got and him
kind of recency, you'll see.
Yeah, a one-fight streak. So you don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah.
So we'll leave him out with his injury. So, yeah, Gastelum's got to be next because Romero's fighting at 225. Rockhold's moving up to light heavy. Weidman's injured. Jacare just lost. Gastelum's the man.
Yeah, he is. He's the number one contender.
And that will be a heck of a fight if it's Whitaker.
That'll be good. So now, speaking of title fights, in the main event, you had Amanda Nunes versus Rocky Pennington.
Ooh.
The fight, it was very one-sided.
Very.
And even from the very beginning, you know, Rocky Pennington, she got an ATV accident, broke her leg.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they thought that she was going to amputate it, okay? And at the very first kick of the fight, Nunes kicks Pennington. Right in that spot.
She went for it.
And she was just in pain for the rest of the fight. She was in a lot of pain. And so the big controversy is, so Amanda Nunes, she finishes the fight in the fifth round. At the end of the fourth round, Rocky Pennington, she goes to her corner. The camera's on her. She turns around. And she tells her fight, I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to go out anymore. And to which the corner responds, no, 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 no. Get back out there. We can recover later. Get back out there. Go, go,
give
go.
Give it all you got. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Go, go, go. Okay? She goes back out there. And then she gets, you know, finished in just a couple minutes, not even halfway through the second or the fifth round.
Yeah.
She finishes. She's got a lot of blood coming out. Even as she's, breathing, blood is coming down.
Yeah, and we forgot to mention she had a broken nose.
She didn't. She actually just had a cut. It wasn't a broken nose.
It wasn't broken?
No, it was just blood. It was a tip, just stitches. Her leg was damaged. But she actually didn't end up with a broken nose. But you didn't know that. And it looked bad. It looked like she was crunched over. And she looked like she was just bleeding profusely out of her nose.
Even when she stood up straight, she was still dripping all the way down her stomach.
So it appeared. It looked like a broken nose. Turns out, in hindsight, it wasn't. So what is your take, Eddie? Where do you stand on the corner talking the fighter back in to going back and fight?
It really depends on how well they know that fighter. I mean, if you know that your fighter is someone who's prone to hyperbole or drama, and in practice they're always saying, I don't want to go anymore, and you just motivate them, and they finish their reps, or you finish their sets or whatever, then yeah, it seems like a normal thing.
So what if in the case of Rocky Pennington, who is not like that? She does not do that in camp. She does not do that.
Do we know that?
We do know that. We've heard from both the coach and from her that she doesn't do that in training. This was not out of the norm for her. This was out of the norm.
Okay. Man, it's really tough.
Because
she didn't have an injury, she didn't have a broken nose.
But they didn't know that.
Right,
and they didn't ask those questions.
I'm not done.
Okay.
But yeah, we find out now that she doesn't have a broken nose.
Sure.
It really looked like it then, but she didn't say anything about not being able to breathe. She didn't say how much her leg hurt. She just said, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. So hearing it like that, the coach is like, it sounds more like a quitting situation than an injury situation. It's like, are you hurt or are you injured? And they're thinking, okay, she's just hurt, but she'll hate herself for giving up. Go out there and finish. And also, if you look back at the at fights in the past, Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen, pulled it out the last minute. Misha Tate versus Holly Holm, pulled it out the last minute. So there is some precedent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of precedent in the UFC pulling things out in the fifth round.
Yeah. No, I get it. Paul Craig, that but, like, last second he finished the fight.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, you got injured fighters saying they don't want to fight anymore. That's when people really get injured, is when they're not going 100%.
Yeah. So this is getting a lot of coverage. I mean, it was on Get Up with Greeny and Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose.
Oh, now they want to talk about the UFC.
Well, now that they're in bed with the UFC, now there's a deal with ESPN Plus. So
yeah.
They're going to be talking about them a lot more. It's going to be interesting, though, Eddie, because there's maybe not a right answer.
Right.
Because it's a different situation, and we don't know. And so maybe, you know, we kind of thought this was terrible, this is disgusting, but we don't know. You know, and both Rocky Pennington and her coach have come back out in support of each other, said, hey, I'm glad he didn't do that. I'm glad he didn't throw the towel in for me.
Like I said, they kind of know her. They know.
So
maybe she's not prone to drama, but they know that she would hate herself for giving up.
Maybe we aren't the best ones to judge.
Exactly.
So it's a tough one. So.
I always hate it when people, like online keyboard warriors, will tell a fighter they're not injured, tell a fighter they're scared to fight. You don't know anything.
You don't know.
You're not there.
So Eddie, either way, it was a great night of fights between ESPN, Lomachenko, between Bellator was pretty good. A lot of good finishes.
Yeah.
And then a ton of good finishes all the way through. And then the one that wasn't a finish was the Gaslam's Jacare fight.
Yeah, fight
and that was a good fight, too. So
yeah, I'd like to thank all you guys for having all these fights on the Saturday before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Your key audience is 18 to 49. Most of them have their mother still alive.
Huh? Or wives that have kids.
Oh, yeah, wives. So, yeah. There you go. See?
So,
different thing.
All right, Eddie. So, hey, we will be right back. We've got a lot of news to cover. Guys, stick around. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
Hey guys, Rafael Sunsal here. Make sure you listen to Eddie and Jordan, 104.9 The Horn.
Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo, what up with that? What up with that? Yes, sir.
All right, folks, I got to admit, we talked your ear off that first round, so we're going to get right into it.
Oh, is that what you think? You think you should do that?
I think we should.
It doesn't matter what you think.
See, that's there you go.
Gotta watch out for that dreaded double tap.
A double tap is
the producer's enemy.
You stupid idiots.
Okay, Yair Rodriguez is no longer a UFC fighter, Jordan.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Man, can you believe that? Yair Rodriguez just
no,
a year ago.
That's dumb.
So we've been hearing for a while that Zabit Magomedsharipov was going to be fighting against Yair Rodriguez. Magomed Sharipov was ranked 14th. Yair Rodriguez, who hasn't fought since he lost to Frankie Edgar a year ago.
In Dallas, yeah. That was ugly.
He's ranked 11th. And Magomed Sharipov wants to fight him. They think it's a good fight. So,
well, yeah, they think it's a good fight.
Dana White told Lance Pugmire of the LA Times, why would that not be a good fight for a year? He's ranked below him. Doesn't have a lot of fanfare, but regardless, that's not important.
Because he's not a strong wrestler, and Zabit would take him down and maul him.
No, if you want to be champion, you got to fight whoever it takes, Eddie. True. Obviously, you wouldn't be a champion. So he
told
Lance Pugmire of the LA Times that the fight was signed. That the fight was signed for UFC 227, August 4th, Staples Center, to which Yair Rodriguez tweets out, hashtag fake news. Then, all of a sudden, you hear, like the day later, Yair Rodriguez has been cut by the UFC for his inability to accept fights.
To which Dana White tweets out, real news.
Real news. So he refused to take that fight against Magomed Sharipov. He refused to take a fight against Ricardo Lamas. So now you have someone who's a very hot prospect, someone who they put up against BJ Penn, had him defeat BJ Penn. He is now cut from the UFC. He's 10-2 overall. Think about that. I mean, like, you have guys like Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz who don't accept fights at all, yet we're cutting Yair Rodriguez because he won't take a fight with, granted, people that are ranked, you know, below him. But what do you think about that?
And let's not forget someone named Conor McGregor who won't fight anything except maybe a bus window. I've got, while we're on the subject, I've got to take it or leave it for you.
Okay. It's not what we're doing today, but okay.
I know. Twist.
Okay.
is this a better situation overall for Yair Rodriguez? Going to somewhere like Bellator, where, you know, you don't have to deal with the Reebok deal, where management is going to give you better fights as you continue to grow, a la Conor McGregor. Maybe they will use you to open themselves up in Mexico. You think this is a better deal for Yair Rodriguez's future?
Well, you know, I don't think that Yair Rodriguez could get paid what he wants to get paid from Bellator. But maybe someone
didn't get
like
his own sponsors.
Maybe
back.
Someone like Combate Americas. Think about what Ryzen is doing with Kyoji Horiguchi.
Mm-hmm.
They are paying Kyoji Horiguchi a ton of money to be kind of the face of the organization. What if someone like Combate, they want Yair Rodriguez to be the face of the organization?
There you
and
go.
They could pay him more money, and they could overpay him to have him be that person. Just like Ryzen is overpaying Horiguchi.
Mm-hmm.
They could overpay him and have him someone when they if they do it
it's
in
like
Mexico.
One overpaid Ben
they
Askren,
can
yeah.
continue to promote him and drive him and see if he can resonate with the fans. We're really going to see if he's going to resonate, though. We don't know. We don't know if he resonates.
We don't know, but I bet you he will.
Okay,
that's just a guess, though. Now we just spoke about Nate Diaz, actually.
Yeah, both
and
of
Nick
actually.
Diaz. Yeah. Now, Nate is reportedly under investigation by the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. What is up with that?
Well, you even could have said about Nate Diaz or Combate Americas, because Nate Diaz was at a Combate America event last Friday, and he allegedly pushed Clay Guida from behind, made him fall and hit a railing, split his lip, and then he slapped Tyler Diamond, who is a Team Alpha Male fighter, who is a teammate of Clay Guida. And now they're going to do that. They believe that perhaps Nate Diaz assaulted him, which warrants an arrest.
That is battery, yeah.
So first off, I mean, are we really causing we're calling it, if Nate Diaz slaps you, that's assault now?
No. The battery part is pushing Clay Guida from behind and causing injury to him when his face hit the thing. But my question is, hang on a second. Did Nate Diaz have a fight?
Nate Diaz was there cornering his teammate, Chris Avila.
Don't ruin the joke.
Who used to be in the UFC. But, I mean, come on, guys. I hate to bring it like, I get it that we're fighters and we shouldn't be able to, we should not be able to assault people in general. But
right.
I don't think we need to call the cops every time when someone, you know, pushes you from behind or gets in a scuffle.
I would agree with that.
I'm going to push you right now. And I don't think you're going to call the cops, Eddie.
No, I just punch in the nuts.
There you go. And that's how you respond. That's how you react, okay?
But I think also there was a very large 209 contingent there. So it was like 10 on 2.
There was a big Sacramento contingent. Come on. If the Sacramento sheriff is investigating, that means it was in Sacramento. Who's in Sacramento?
That doesn't mean they're all there Team Alpha Male.
Oh, my gosh. They're in a clown car. They all go in a clown car there, and they all get out. It's because they weigh very little. So
Jordan is short jokes.
Yep. All right.
Hey.
What else you got for me? You like that short joke and I put your name?
Got to get a purple nurple for that one. We talked about this a little earlier, but Chuck Liddell has made this official. What's up with the golden boy?
Are we talking about Oscar De La Hoya? Or are we talking about Chuck Liddell here?
Both.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, hey, so we talked last week that TMZ caught up with Chuck Liddell and Oscar De La Hoya coming out of a restaurant. And they were talking about the possibility of creating an MMA organization, Golden Boy MMA.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was maybe Chuck Liddell would be a centerpiece and he would fight Tito Ortiz there. Last week, Tito Ortiz comes out and says, I'm out of retirement. My year-long retirement is over. I want to fight Chuck Liddell. And then this Monday on the MMA Hour, Chuck Liddell was in person there with Ariel Helwani. And he said that he is out of retirement, that he's coming back. He wants to fight. And it's most likely going to happen in a Golden Boy MMA. But he's open to Bellator. He's open to other options. He wants two fights, and then he believes he should fight John Jones. How do you feel about Chuck Liddell, who's going to be 49, I believe, saying he wants John Jones?
So then after two fights, he'll be 50.
Someone,
please stop Chuck from hurting himself. Please just stop it.
That's assault, brother.
That's injury to the elderly.
That is murder.
But hey, answer me this. Wouldn't this make it more like a Golden Years MMA?
Well, I mean, if you get Vitor Belfort there, and but I mean,
come on, that was a good joke.
Does that even draw? Does that draw in 2018? Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell. Do you sell 100,000 pay-per-views for that?
Maybe 100,000, but you definitely won't approach a quarter million.
Who else is on the card? Like,
that's a good question.
Who could you
who else is out there that's not signed? Card?
Vitor Belfort. But who else beyond that?
Yeah, who's not signed?
I don't know.
You're going to have to go get more old guys. And then a few up-and-comers to fill out the bottom of it. Because if they're not there, they're in Bellator.
And
if
it's an MMA. It's an MMA event. It's not a boxing event, too.
Yeah. Oh, they'll put some boxing on there just to fill it out. But if they're not in UFC, they're in Bellator. If they're not in Bellator, they're in PFL. If they're not in PFL,
Combate.
I was going to say Ryzen or Fight Nights Global or 1FC. There's not many high-end guys left.
Yep.
Okay. Lastly, on Monday, the Supreme Court reversed a federal law that bans sports gambling in most states. What's this mean? What's up with that?
So, yeah, so this now ties back into your idea about sports betting at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, how much you love it.
So the decision actually doesn't legalize gambling across the U.S. What it does is that it actually it pulls away this federal like mandate that outlawed it in most states.
So it gives states the rights.
So now states have the rights to choose. So currently, Nevada, Delaware, Montana, and Oregon had legalized sports betting, but only Nevada allowed for single game wagers. Okay?
Okay.
So now, states that want to offer single game wagers, they can do so, and it's expected that Delaware, Mississippi, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia are going to start offering, and then places like Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia are all going to follow as well.
Why didn't I hear Louisiana in there?
I did not see
they
Louisiana.
They got casinos.
You would think that would be right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, though, because right now you're hearing a bunch of like sports entities come out and be like, no, we don't like this. The NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, they're all against this. You know, this is the implication of fixing games. You know, UFC's had issues with fixing fights.
Mm-hmm.
But the UFC, they're in favor. They said UFC supports legalized regulated sports betting, as we have seen firsthand in Nevada, the success of well-regulated gambling. We look forward to working with Congress and state legislatures to support policy that ensures the integrity of our sport and makes the best sense for our fans and our business. But Eddie, the real question is, when you go to Vegas, like, and you want to go, I have a friend who goes to Vegas all the time.
Name
it's
Jordan?
A special, it's not me, a special place for him because he likes to sports bet.
Uh-huh.
And so he doesn't have to go there anymore. So what does Vegas lose out on if they're not going to be like that unique place that only provides sports betting? Why would I go to Vegas when, hey, I could go to New York or I can go to New Jersey? I don't want to go to New Jersey, but
I got two words for you.
Okay.
Britney Spears.
Golden. She's done. Britney's done. She had
Is
her
she
last,
done?
Yeah, I saw her like your second to last show. I was there in Vegas. It was over Christmas time. She's out.
Oh, okay.
It's now Mariah Carey, I believe.
You just ruined my joke.
Oh, what?
You know what? New fights.
You are hitting with terrible jokes.
Give us new fights.
All right, so not many. Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Poirier. We think that's going to be headlining UFC on Fox 30, July 28th. You have Darren Elkins. He's fighting Alexander Volkanovski in Boise. Neil Magny's going to fight Craig White. Craig White stepping in for Gunnar Nelson. And then Jake Shields is fighting Ray Cooper 3 at the PFL. Eddie, that's what's up with that. That's new fights. We'll be right back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We'll see you then.
This is future UFC heavyweight champion Derek the Black Beast Lewis, and you're listening to Fight Night with Eddie and Jordan on The Horn.
And bienvenido a Fight Night esta semana. El UFC va a Chile, a Santiago, Chile, para un Fight Night. Damian Maia versus Kamaru Usman. You like that, Eddie? That is my Santiago, Chile. I actually lived in Chile for 2 years.
I was going to say that's your Southern California coming up.
I am fluent in Spanish, and I lived in Chile for 2 years. You know this about me. I was a missionary there.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Santiago, Chile, and between the ages of 19 to 21, I didn't come back. I only talked to my parents on Christmas and Mother's Day.
Wow.
And so Santiago, Chile, you have Damian Maia fighting Kamaru Usman. And this is a fun fight. It's a tough fight for Damian Maia. It's not a great matchup.
That is Kamaru a bad
Usman,
matchup.
He is someone who has continued to rise up the ranks. Where is Kamaru Usman right now in the rankings, Eddie?
Well, in the welterweight rankings, Kamaru Usman is number 7.
Yeah, number 7. And Damian Maia, I think, what, third?
Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a tough fight. Last fight, Damian Maia was against Colby Covington. Before that, he fought Tyron Woodley, two wrestlers. Kamaru Usman can wrestle, can take him down.
Yeah.
He's someone that could give a third loss in a row to Damian Maia. But Damian Maia knows that if he wants to get back into title contention, he's got to take fights like this. He's got to fight guys at the top of the division
Or
people that pose that threat of the guys at the top of the division.
Because the only ones left after that are Rafael Dos Anjos, who can wrestle himself. And Wonderboy Thompson doesn't wrestle at all, but he's booked at the moment.
Yeah.
But this is kind of like what I was saying about Yair Rodriguez, is sometimes it's just a bad matchup. happened to Paul Daly last weekend. And I have a fear that it'll happen to Damian Maia this weekend too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a possibility. So, but if you think if Kamar Usman wins, he could jump up. Who's in between? Who's sixth?
Sixth is Jorge Masvidal.
Okay, so Jorge Masvidal, Usman could easily jump up the rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of Maia, take over that fifth spot. And
now
I know,
he's in Lawler territory.
You know he wants Colby Covington.
Yes.
Those guys have issues together. That would be a fun fight to watch as well. So I'm looking forward to that. In the co-main event, though, Eddie, you've got Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso, she has someone that the UFC's put a lot of effort into. Mm-hmm. They brought her fighting in kind of these key demographics. I think she is from Mexican descent.
She's very Paige Van Zandt, Mackenzie Dernish.
Okay.
As in, she's coming in young with a good background, but very young, but they still want to push her. And is it too much too soon? We might find out this weekend, because the girl she's fighting, Tatiana Suarez, the Ultimate Fighter Season 23 winner, who defeated last week against Amanda Cooper in the finale, a two-time world champion bronze medalist wrestler. That's going to be tough. Alexa Grasso, she's more of a boxer, so that's a bad matchup for her.
Yeah, Alexa Grasso, she's 10-1. Her only loss is to Felice Herrig,
mm-hmm.
but her last win, she beat Randa Markos. Which, not a slouch right. either. That's a fun fight.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting fight. Let's see. Then we've got Jared Cannonier versus Dominic Reyes. Veronica Macedo, who you'll love it, doesn't have a Wikipedia page, versus Andrea Lee. Is that KGB Lee? Nice. And Diego Rivas versus Guido Canetti.
And Vicente
that
Luque.
That just sounds like a cartoon name.
I like the Vicente Luque.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the card.
Can we get Vicente Luque versus Guido Canetti?
The card isn't very strong. It's on Fox Sports 1. But Damian Maia versus Kamaru Usman, that's a fun fight. That's definitely a fight I will be watching.
Yeah, and if you go down to the prelims, which will be on Fox Sports 2, you do get Brandon Moreno.
Yeah, who was supposed to be fighting Ray Borg in this fight. And we all know. And have you seen Ray Borg's GoFundMe page? A lot of fighters are tweeting
it. What's it up
to? It's over $20,000. They've reached the goal. But good job for people kind of banding together and really looking after their own in the UFC. So it should be fun. Also, you've got the WBC World Light Heavyweight title. Badu Jack is fighting Adonis Stevenson. That's up in Canada, the Air Canada Center. Badu Jack, I saw him. He fought on the undercard of Mayweather-McGregor.
Right, which is the only reason I recognize his name.
Yeah.
But Adonis Stevenson, they call him Superman. He's basically only fought in Canada. But he is the WBC World Lightweight Champion. And that's going to be, 9 o'clock our time on Showtime.
Yeah.
So that's also Saturday.
All right. So, Eddie, what do you got going on this weekend?
This weekend? Man, I've been out of town like 3 weekends out of last month. I really got to clean. My place is a mess right now.
Okay.
That is really what I'm dedicating myself to, clean my apartment.
There you go.
Yeah.
So my Saturdays from now on up in Cedar Park, you will find me every Saturday morning up at the Milburn Pool.
Oh, yeah, water polo.
No, swim team. Oh. For the kids' swim team, we got Drake's in swimming, Lydia's in swimming. I think I got to be there like 5:30 on Saturday mornings.
You going to jump in the pool with them?
No,
work
not
off
at all.
A little bit of the.
It's go time now, and it's going to be a very.
Going to get your summer body?
I wish, man. It's going to be early days, but a lot of days on Saturday. So
yeah.
And then I'll watch Damian Maia at the end of the day. So it should be a fun night of fights.
That's good.
So.
I might go to the Cedar Park Center on Sunday.
Okay.
To catch the Calder Cup playoffs. The Texas Stars are playing the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Blackhawks minor league team.
Well, hey, you know what I want to see? I want to see, let's go Golden Knights. Go Golden Knights. Let's hear it, all in. So
no.
It's hockey. They're playing the Jets.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it is. So
no one cares.
So, guys, hey, it's been great talking to you guys about the fights tonight. Check out Stu and Justin next on Wednesday Warfare. Sports guys talking wrestling.
They'll have more about Ronda for you.
If you like the show, guys, go make a comment. Post a review on iTunes. Give us a rating. That's important. But we're glad to be your MMA experts for 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
That's right. Tell your friends, subscribe. Enjoy the fights. We'll catch you next week.
Have a great night. We'll see you then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.